December Night by Willa Cather. Father Vaillant had been absent in Arizona since midsummer, and it was now December. Bishop Latour had been going through one of those periods of coldness and doubt which, from his boyhood, had occasionally settled down upon his spirit and made him feel an alien wherever he was. He attended to his correspondence, went on his rounds among the parish priests, held services at missions that were without pastors, superintended the building of the addition to the sisters' school, but his heart was not in these things. One night, about 3 weeks before Christmas, he was lying in his bed, unable to sleep, with the sense of failure clutching at his heart. His prayers were empty words and brought him no refreshment. His soul had become a barren field. He had nothing within himself to give his priests or his people. His work seemed superficial, a house built upon the sands. His great diocese was still a heathen country. The Indians traveled their old road of fear and darkness, battling with evil omens and ancient shadows. The Mexicans were children who played with their religion. As the night wore on, the bed on which the bishop lay became a bed of thorns. He could bear it no longer. Getting up in the dark, he looked out of the window and was surprised to find that it was snowing, that the ground was already lightly covered. The full moon, hidden by veils of cloud, threw a pale phosphorescent luminousness over the heavens, and the towers of the church stood up black against this silvery fleece. Father Latour felt a longing to go into the church to pray, but instead he lay down again under his blankets. Then, realizing that it was the cold of the church he shrank from, and despising himself, he rose again, dressed quickly, and went out into the court, throwing on over his cassock that faithful old cloak that was the twin of Father Vaillant's. They had bought the cloth for those coats in Paris long ago, when they were young men staying at the seminary for foreign missions in the Rue de Bach, preparing for their first voyage to the New World. The cloth had been made up into caped riding cloaks by a German tailor in Ohio and lined with fox fur. Years afterward, when Father Latour was about to start on his long journey in search of his bishopric, that same tailor had made the cloaks over and relined them with squirrel skins, as more appropriate for a mild climate. These memories and many others went through the bishop's mind as he wrapped the trusty garment about him and crossed the court to the sacristy with a big iron key in his hand. The court was white with snow, and the shadows of walls and buildings stood sharply in the faint light from the moon muffled in vapor. In the deep doorway of the sacristy, he saw a crouching figure, a woman, he made out, and she was weeping bitterly. He raised her up and took her inside. As soon as he had lit a candle, he recognized her and could have guessed her errand. It was an old Mexican woman called Sada, who was slave in an American family. They were Protestants, very hostile to the Roman Church, and they did not allow her to go to Mass or to receive the visits of a priest. She was carefully watched at home. But in winter, when the heated rooms of the house were desirable to the family, she was put to sleep in a woodshed. Tonight, unable to sleep for the cold, she had gathered courage for this heroic action, had slipped out through the stable door, and come running up an alleyway to the house of God to pray. Finding the front doors of the church fastened, she had made her way into the bishop's garden and come around to the sacristy, only to find that, too, shut against her. The bishop stood holding the candle and watching her face while she spoke her few words. A dark, brown, paean face, worn thin and sharp by life and sorrow. It seemed to him that he had never seen pure goodness shine out of a human countenance as it did from hers. He saw that she had no stockings under her shoes, the cast-off rawhides of her master, and beneath her frayed black shawl was only a thin calico dress covered with patches. Her teeth struck together as she stood trying to control her shivering. With one movement of his free hand, the bishop took the furred cloak from his shoulders and put it about her. This frightened her. She cowered under it, murmuring, "Ah, no, no, padre." "You must obey your padre, my daughter. Draw that cloak about you, and we will go into the church to pray." The church was utterly black except for the red spark of the sanctuary lamp before the high altar. Taking her hand and holding the candle before him, he led her across the choir to the Lady Chapel. There he began to light the tapers before the Virgin. Old Sada fell on her knees and kissed the floor. She kissed the feet of the Holy Mother, the pedestal on which they stood, crying all the while. But from the working of her face, from the beautiful tremors which passed over it, he knew they were tears of ecstasy.
19 years, Father, 19 years since I have seen the holy things of the altar."
"All that is past, Sada. You have remembered the holy things in your heart. We will pray together." The bishop knelt beside her, and they began. "O Holy Mary, Queen of Virgins,